beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. God is good? Come on, say it with energy. God is good? And all the time. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I should add, God made all 7 days. Come on, say amen. But what? But what? He only blessed one. And what God blesses, you and I cannot unbless. What God curses, you and I cannot uncurse. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. How are you? It's nice to see you in the house of God. Thank you very much for coming. I mean that very sincerely, and I extend that welcome to those of you watching online, wherever you are. A friend of mine wrote me, I got the text this morning, and that person was watching from Nairobi, Kenya. We thank God for the technology that allows a man or a woman to speak in Pasadena, and someone in Nairobi, Kenya, someone in Shanghai, someone in Seoul, Korea, someone in Berlin, Germany, can watch it at the same time. Amen. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached where? In all the world, for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Is there anyone present this morning? You are with us for the very first time. You are not a Seventh-day Adventist. Raise your hand. First time, you're not a Seventh-day Adventist. Would you tell us your name, please? Would you stand? What's your name?
Keon.
Who?
Keon.
How are you, Keon?
Good, how are you?
Fine, my handsome brother. Good to see you. Tell us who invited you.
Your
who?
My grandmother.
Your grandmother. Okay, so you had to come, Keon. Well, we appreciate that. Don't mess with your grandmother. Don't do that. Good, good. Keon, we're glad you're here. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Good. Thank you, my good brother. I saw, what's your name, my brother?
Williams.
Brother Williams, how are you?
Very well.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, it's good to have you. I'm glad you love the word of God. Say amen for Brother Williams.
Amen.
Anybody else? You are not, What's your name? What's his name? Your father. What's your name?
Hector.
Hector's a good name. How are you, Brother Hector? Thank you very much for coming. We thank your daughter for inviting you. May the Lord bless you and put a double blessing on the little baby in your hands. Say amen for Hector. Say amen for the little baby. What's the baby's name? Elijah is a powerful name. Why is he not in heaven if he's Elijah? All right. We're happy to see Elijah. Say amen for Elijah. And for Hector. Hector, you may be seated. Thank you very much. Anybody else? You are not a Seventh-day Adventist. You're here for the first time. Online, I believe we have some guests. I will pause now and pray for all our guests. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Our Father in heaven, thank you very much for the visitors you brought. We are honored by their presence in this building and online. Now, Father, because you love all people, bless them. They have different needs. Attend to their needs, I pray, dear God. Fill them with your spirit. Protect them through your angels, dear God. Provide their needs in abundance, Father. And save all of them when you come. and put a double blessing on little Elijah. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen. God is good. How many of you love God? Can I see your hand? Ah, God must be smiling. You know, God loves to be told, I love you. Mm-hmm. Not just wives and husbands and boyfriends and girlfriends. God loves to be told, I love you. But the loudest way to tell God, I love you, is by obeying him. Because the Bible says, if you love me, come on, talk to me. Keep my commandments. But let's talk to God now. On the count of three, I want you to say, Father, I love, not we love you, I love you. Are you ready? One, two, three. Father, I love you. One more time. Father, I love you. One more time. Father, I, now let's say it as a family. Father, we love you. Amen. God is pleased, and he's right now pouring out a blessing on us. Our subject for this morning, traitors in the temple. Did I step on your toe? I heard some groans and aches. Traitors in the temple. Before I get into that message, which is for the glory of God, if you're not using one of these, what should you do? Off, not down. Off. And how do I spell off? O-F-F-F-F. I mean, turn it off so that God is given reverence. Is that okay? Favor number two, while I'm speaking, pray for me and say, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And I want God literally to put his words in my mouth. Why? Because Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, come on, finish it, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus did not say that about my words. Favor number three, what's that? Think. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together. Let me say what I frequently say. If people would think, they would not eat some of the things they eat. Are you with me? If people would think, they would not drink some of the things they drink. If people would think, they would not date some of the people they date. Come on, all guilty people say amen. If we would stop, come on, and think. Let me be even more controversial. If people would stop and think, they would not attend some of the churches they attend. Mm-hmm. Because they would be compelled to say, what am I doing? Here endeth the lesson. What's the subject? Traitors in the temple. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I am made of dirt, but I have been called by you to preach a divine message. Then, Father, please understand when I say, you must help me. This is not a command or an order. It is simply a realization of the fact, without your help, I will simply make a mess of this message. So I ask you, dear God, possess me, control my mind, control my mouth, control me physically, but above all, forgive my sins, that I may be a clean vessel in your hand. I ask you to open the minds of those who are listening, whether in this building or online, open our minds, dear God, to both understand and receive the truth, because it is the reception of the truth that leads to reformation of the life. I ask you to bless in a very particular way all our guests in this building and online. Their Father, in mercy, touch the sick. Bring healing or bring significant improvement. Put a double blessing on all children who are listening, dear God. Remind them somehow that Jesus loves little boys and little girls, and he is pleased when children give their lives to him. Bless this country, dear God. Your servant tells us the United States is the most blessed country the sun has ever shone upon. But one day, it will speak as a dragon. But until that day, let us enjoy freedom of worship you've given to us. Bless every other country represented by those watching. Now, Father, speak through me, God. Speak through me, I pray. Suppress my carnal nature. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen. Matthew 28, reading from verse 18. It's 11:53. I'll release you as soon as I can. Matthew 28, reading from verse 18. Do you have that? Just to put your mind at ease, I read from the King James Version of the Bible, just in case it varies from your version. When you found it, say amen.
Amen.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This is called the great what?
Commission.
Gospel commission. Yes, it is the great gospel commission. Listen again to the words of Jesus Christ. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Or the translation of the word teach, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe. People must be taught what is right, or we will naturally do, come on, tell me, what is wrong. A parent does not have to teach a child to be selfish. The child is born that way. And big children like us, we are the same way. We have to be taught to be generous. And so Jesus says, teach them to observe. Give me a smaller word for observe. Obey. By the way, obey is my favorite word. If it had been Adam's favorite word, we would not be in this mess we're in today. Are you listening to me? If it had been Satan's or Lucifer's favorite word, we would not have had sin that began in heaven and a war. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, which means the central message, the central activity of the disciples of Jesus Christ is the proclamation of a message. I lost you already. Too early for me to lose you. Let me find you. Listen again, microscopically. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. You do some teaching, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them. Teach them, baptize them, and teach them. To observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You have to tell them the primary thrust, the central pillar of the work of God's end time people is the proclamation of a message.
Yes, amen.
But let's go to Matthew 25. We read from verse 31. What's our subject? Traitors in the temple. Do you have that? Matthew 25, reading from verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come, excuse me, in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. By the way, when Christ comes back, all the angels are coming with him. Now, we can't count how many angels there are. God can. Are you with me? We cannot. There are too many. The best the Bible writers can say are 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, which is about 100 million. That's the best the Bible writer can do, even under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. There are millions of angels. The Bible says all of them are coming. When the President of the United States travels, he travels with an entourage. There's his plane, there's another one like it, then there's some fighter planes, and there's some whatever that travel with him. When he hits the ground, there are motorcades and black cars and the one called the Beast in which he travels. All kinds, there are crowds with him. When Jesus comes, the President of the universe, all the angels are coming. Then those he's coming to get must be important to him. Can you say amen? He doesn't send Gabriel to get you. He comes himself. And all his angels come with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Right now, God sits on the throne of his grace. When Christ comes, then the throne of his glory will be initiated. Right now, the throne of grace is where Christ sits. Are you with me? All right, now, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Which means, essentially, there are only two classes on the face of the earth. Those who obey and those who disobey. Let me say it again. God does not divide the world into Koreans, Swiss, Japanese, and Americans. He does not divide the world into the Brahmin and the untouchables as applies in India. He does not divide the world into the super rich, the upper class, the middle class, the lower middle class, and the gutter. God divides the world into obey and disobey. Wheat, tares. Sheep, saved, lost. You go to heaven or? And he shall set his sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then, verse 34, shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now he goes on to explain why. For I was anhungered, and he gave me meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and he took me in. Naked, and he clothed me. I was sick, and he visited me. I was in prison, and he came unto me. Jesus said, you did all these things. This is the work of someone who follows the promptings of the Spirit of God. If you take that passage all by itself and not read other statements from Christ and other parts of the Bible, you may think the work of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is only to feed the hungry and clothe the naked. Listen to me carefully. The primary focus of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, notice I said the what? Primary. Which means that there's a secondary, maybe a tertiary. The primary purpose of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is the proclamation of a message not only proclaimed, but lived. Amen. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right. In Testimonies, Volume 8, page 184, paragraph 3, Ellen White writes, the Lord has marked out our way of work, the way we should do our work. As a people, we are not to imitate or go in the way of Salvation Army methods. Neither are we to condemn them. This is not the work the Lord has called us to do. Should we feed the hungry?
Yes.
Let me put it to you this way. Let us say that food was provided for all hungry people. 3 times a day. Let us say housing was provided for every homeless person. With electricity, running water all over the world, every person has food. 3 times a day, every person has running water, electricity, security. Would there be need for an organization to provide food? No. Would there be need for an organization to provide clothing? No. Everyone has clothes. Everyone has food. Everyone has a house. Let's say the United Nations worked out a way. There is no more war. Would there be a need for Doctors Without Borders? No. Let's say all animals had a home. Would we need a society for the prevention of cruelty to animals? Answer me even if you're wrong. Let's say researchers came up with a way to heal all mental illnesses. Would there be a need for psychiatric institutions? No. Let us say that some religious leaders got together and devised a method to prevent people from committing crimes. Would we need prison ministry? No. Would we still need the three angels' messages? Yes. As long as there's sin, are you listening to me? As long as there's sin on this earth, as long as Christ has not yet come back, the greatest need of this earth is to hear the three angels' messages. Ellen White continues, the Salvation Army workers try to save the neglected and downtrodden. Don't discourage them. Let them do their work by their own methods and in their own way. But the Lord has clearly pointed out the work that we are to do. What's our subject? Traitors in the temple. There are Adventists who believe the work of the church is to get someone voted into office. I mean, in Washington, not the church board, Washington. There are some Adventists who believe the work of the church is Black Lives Matter. Or White Lives Matter. Or Blue Lives Matter. There are some Adventists who believe that the work of the church is to pursue this social cause or that social cause or that social cause, all of which in and of themselves may be fine. But we must not forget the purpose this church was raised up is to preach the three angels' messages. Will all faithful Adventists say amen? Amen. The three angels, this is what the world needs. The world doesn't need more rich sinners, well-fed sinners, well-dressed sinners, beautifully housed sinners, because they're still the enemies of God. Let me say it again before someone starts writing and say, Randy Skeet said this and that. Here's what I said. The primary purpose of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, is to preach a message that no one else, preaches. Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals does not preach it. The Salvation Army does not preach it. The United Nations does not preach it. Doctors Without Borders does not preach it. You name the organization, they do not preach it. Do they do good work? Yes. Go to Mark chapter 1. What's our subject? Traitors in the temple. By the way, let me tell you quickly, anyone who consciously tries to turn the church from its primary mission is a traitor to the mission of the church. When Peter told Christ, be it far from thee, this shall not be unto thee. In other words, don't go to Jerusalem and die. Don't do that. In other words, don't pursue the plan of the salvation. Whom did Jesus rebuke? Satan. Where was Satan functioning? In Peter. right in the presence of Christ. What book did I say? What chapter? 14 and 15. Let me pray again. Father, as I continue, please, God, possess me, I pray, every iota of who I am. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Now, look at verse 14 again. Now, after what? John, who was John? John the Baptist. What was his connection to Christ? He was his cousin. John the Baptist was older than Christ by 6 months. He was the cousin of Jesus. Who was Jesus? He was man and God. When Jesus heard his cousin had been put in prison in preparation for execution, did Jesus go and get him out? He left him. You know why? Getting John out was not a part of his mission. Which means that sentimentalism did not enter into the work of Christ. Christ was not driven by emotion. That's not my work. And he left. Was Christ loving? Was Christ tender-hearted? Did he leave John in prison? Yes. That was not the work of Jesus Christ. You and I, like our Savior, must be clear, what is my mission on this earth? If you and I are not clear, someone else will give us a mission. A Christian who does not study the Bible will be taught by the devil. You didn't hear me. When you and I neglect to study truth, someone else will teach us error. And we will be responsible. And so Jesus left John because that was not his mission. When Peter told Christ, "Don't go to Jerusalem," in that brief period, Peter was a traitor in the temple. Of course, we know he changed. We thank God for that. But in that moment, when Eve came to Adam with that, whatever it was, and urged her husband to consume it, she was a traitor in the temple. And that temple wasn't the church, it was her own home. When we try to get the church to get involved with this movement and that movement as its primary mission, did you hear what I just said? As its primary mission, we are traitors in the temple. Now, when Jesus said in the Great Gospel Commission, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." No, he said, "Teach them what I have taught you." Let me pause on that. Go back to Matthew 28. I never want you to think I'm giving you my words. Go back to Matthew 28, 18 to 20. What's our subject? It's 11 minutes after 12. Do you have Matthew 28? And while you're looking for it, let me thank the pastor again for this high honor of occupying this sacred desk. Let me thank God for the special privilege of speaking for him. It's a high honor to speak for God. And let me thank you for receiving me so well and so lovingly. I really mean it sincerely. And may the Lord bless you beyond your expectations. I mean that. Those of you online who came night after night, thank you, and may God wrap his arms around you, draw you into his bosom, and never release you. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Father, continue to be with me, dear God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Teach them what? Well, he tells us, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. By the way, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, not just in the name of Jesus. There are many churches who preach only in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. When Jesus said that, that was God speaking. teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. When he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, make disciples, in other words, you are already disciple. Make them a disciple like you, because you have been following my teaching. You see, Christ is sending disciples who were obeying his teachings. Then he tells them, make disciples who can be among you just like you, so you all together will follow my teaching. Now, keeping this in mind, let's go to Matthew 23. We're spending quite a bit of time in Matthew. Matthew 23, we'll read from verse 1. I want you to read this very carefully, whether you're a church leader or a father or a mother. And to his disciples, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. What is that position? Leadership. Because Moses was the leader of the Israelites. Now they occupy the position of leadership. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. Whatever they tell you, come on, do it. But do not ye after their works. Finish the verse. For they say, come on. What's one word for that? Hypocrite. Where were they? What's our subject? Where were those hypocrites? In the temple. What were they? Traitors in the temple. Do not follow what they do. But the Bible says and teaches what we say ought to correspond with what we do. In Genesis, don't go there. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me. Noah was a righteous man. That's what God said. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He preached righteousness and he lived righteousness. He talked the talk. Come on, finish it. And he walked the walk. The Pharisees talked the talk, but didn't walk the walk. That's hypocrisy at the highest level. And so Jesus tells the disciples, do what they tell you. Don't do as they do, because if you follow them, here's what will happen. Go to verse 15. Traitors in the temple is our subject. Do you have verse 15? Matthew 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye traverse what? Sea and land to do what? Make one proselyte. What word do you use nowadays for proselyte? Convert. Yes. He said, you'll travel across the Mediterranean. You'll fly across the vast Pacific to convert one person. That's a lot of effort. Keep reading. And when he is made, come on, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Evangelism done by a church whose members are not right with God will simply be bringing people into an environment to make them, more often than not, a child of hell. I didn't say that clearly because you didn't groan. It is possible to do evangelism, bring people into the church, and shortly thereafter, they are spiritually worse than they were before you found them. Because before you found them, they didn't know. Now they come to this environment, and as they observe hypocritical behavior, as they hear one thing, see something else, they become just like the environment, and they're made the children of hell by traitors in the temple. And when he's found, now, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all men. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus command anyone to observe Sundays the Sabbath? Yes or no? No. Then if you teach that, you're going contrary to Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus never taught that. He said, teach what I taught. When you teach, there's no Holy Spirit. You're not teaching what Jesus taught. Jesus said, teach what I taught. Jesus taught the Holy Spirit. When you say there's no Trinity, you're going contrary to Christ, because in his word, he clearly taught Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Teach what I taught. When you say dead people are not dead, they go right to heaven or some other place, you're not teaching what Jesus taught. And when we evangelize but do not teach what Jesus taught, we will have converts, yes, but not converts to God. We'll have converts to the church. And not all church members are children of God. If you don't believe me, just read when the Pharisees said to Pilate, crucify him. They were church members. They were not the children of God. Jesus looked at members of the church and he said, ye are of your father the devil. It's difficult to detect a devil in a church, because that's not where you expect to see a devil. That's why Satan is so clever. His most powerful agent, whom we call the beast, the man of sin, the little horn, is a religious organization. Because you're not expecting a church to be most active in opposing truth. That's why one of the functions of this church is to expose the man of sin. Because he's a sheep, he's a wolf, come on, in sheep's clothing. Let me tell you something. Some forms of error are so cleverly crafted, unless you know, thus saith the Lord, you will accept error as truth. My brothers and sisters, this revival week is designed to change us. I can't change you. This can. Received. Are you with me? Receive. Listen to what Paul said in Hebrews. For the word, for unto them was the gospel preached as well as unto us. Referring to the Israelites in the wilderness. Because there's only one gospel. From Adam in Eden to this day, there's only one gospel. Abraham was saved the way you and I are saved. You look shocked. There are two gospels. Every saved person is saved the same way, through faith in Jesus Christ, before Calvary and after Calvary. Amen. Something just slipped my mind. Let it go. It'll come back. My brothers and sisters, we are here to get ready to do evangelism. I said, I can't change you. The word of God changed you. And I was reading Hebrews 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Us, those in the days of Paul, then the Israelites in the wilderness. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. In other words, they heard, they did not receive. If you have not received what you've been hearing all week, then this effort, as far as you're concerned, is perhaps profitless. When we bring people into the church, they should come into a safe environment. Are you with me? Because even though that convert may be 60 years old, that person is a child. Are you with me? The person is a child and needs sometimes to be taken by the hand and led step by step. Until the day when he or she becomes an adult biblically and then can lead someone else step by step. Peter, for 3.5 years with Christ, was a child. Are you listening to me? He was a child spiritually. When the Spirit came upon him and the other 11 at Pentecost, that's when he grew. That's when he matured. When James and John in Luke chapter 9 told Christ, Will you have us call fire from heaven and burn down that village that will not receive you, Samaritan village? Jesus says, ye know not what spirit ye are of now. What did Jesus mean? What spirit was working in them? Satan. In whose presence were they? Jesus. They were traitors, come on, in the temple. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has been raised up by God. I heard four amens anymore. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has been raised up by God to preach a message. What do you think I'm about to say? To preach a message that nobody else preaches. You know why no one else preaches it, even though it is in the Bible for everyone to see? No one else has been called. Now, someone listening to say that man is politically incorrect, yes, but I'm biblically correct. This is not arrogance. When Jesus told the disciples, ye are the light of the world, he meant them, not the world. Clearly, the conclusion is, the world is in darkness and needs your light. But when we in the church live like the world, we become darkness in the church. And darkness cannot illuminate darkness. Ye are the salt of the earth. If the salt have lost its savor, but still in the church. Jesus says, it is thenceforth good for nothing. The church is full of good for nothings. And not this one. You didn't hear what I said. The church is full of good for nothings. And before Christ comes, there will be a falling away. I'm quite sure the Adventists are mad right now because of what I've said. When I said the mission of this church is not, you know, to take care of animals that have no home. Even though that's a good thing to do. The purpose of this church is not to, the primary purpose is not to feed the hungry. But we do that because it's a good thing to do. It's not our primary mission because other organizations do that. The church is not raised up to settle civil rights issues. There are other organizations that do that. But we care about civil rights because Jesus believes in justice. We care about it. But let me tell you this, we can go off taking care of animals that have no home, taking care of the homeless, taking care of the hungry, taking care of civil rights, taking care of women who are beaten by their husbands, husbands beaten by their wives. We can go off in all the and neglect what? The three angels' message. Now, these organizations do not promote the three angels' message. They don't. We're supposed to leave it and promote their cause. Let me say again, their causes are good. But so was the cause of John the Baptist in prison. Why do we have prison ministries? To bring people to Christ, hopefully bring them out that they live a different life. Jesus left his cousin. I said earlier, it was not a part of his mission. When Abraham sent Eliezer to find a wife for Isaac, Genesis 24, beautiful chapter. By the way, my favorite Bible character after Jesus is Eliezer. Eliezer was on a mission, not a trip. You go to Yellowstone, you're on a trip. Are you following me? You go to Yosemite, you're on a trip. You go to Grand Canyon, you're on a trip. So from time to time, you stop and do what? Admire. Some highways have, what do you call those things? You pull off and you look at the surround, you know. What? Scenic pullouts or whatever, you know what I mean. You pull off, you look at the grass, the trees, the mountain, then you drive again, pull off again. That's because you are on a trip. When the Navy SEALs went to get Osama bin Laden, they were not on a trip. Finish my words. They were on a mission. So when one helicopter crashed, they had to figure out what to do. to accomplish the mission. Satan is scared to death of faithful SDA Navy SEALs who will not be distracted by this and that cause, even though this and that cause in and of themselves are good. But God's Navy SEALs are Seventh-day Adventists. We have a mission, the three angels' messages, because we have to bring down Satan. Go with me to Genesis chapter 3. Let me show you what I mean. We are God's special forces. Genesis 3:15. Do you have that? Some of you still looking? Genesis 3:15. Do you have it now? Let me pray again. Father in heaven, be with me, be with me, be with me, dear God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Finish it with me now. It shall bruise thy head. Come on. And thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, who is primarily the seed of the woman? Jesus Christ. It shall bruise thy head. Thou shalt bruise his heel. And that bruise was at Calvary. Okay. Jesus will bruise the head of the serpent. Genesis. Now, go to Romans 16, verse 20. Romans 16, 20. Do you have that? All right. Some of you are still looking for Romans, New Testament, New Testament. Come on. Romans 16, verse 20. You found it? Say amen. Read with me. And the God of peace shall do what? Crush what? Satan where? Under your feet. Come on. Shortly. Now. Where is Paul quoting from? Genesis 3:15. In Genesis 3:15, who does the crushing of the serpent's head? The seed, that's Christ. But in Romans 16:20, who is involved in the crushing? The church. Because Christ is the head of the church. The church is the body of Christ. I'm saying that to let you know we are God's special forces working with Christ to bruise the head of the enemy. But when we step aside from our primary mission and get involved in this cause, that cause, that cause, we are traitors to our mission. Let me ask you this. When the Navy SEALs went, SEAL 6 went looking for Osama bin, by the way, God loved Osama bin Laden. Somebody say amen. He would have loved to have saved him. Mm-hmm. God loves the Pope. And would love to save him. Say amen. Amen. This amen is not for the Pope. It's for God's love. Amen. When SEAL 6 went after Osama bin Laden. If on the journey to his, wherever his compound was, Abbottabad in Pakistan, they had seen a woman who had fallen down in a ditch, would they have stopped to get her out? No. But wouldn't it have been a nice thing to get her out? Yes, but that was not their mission. You see, missions have parameters. If they had seen a dog biting a little boy, oh, we're so sorry, but we are on a mission. We need to be mission-minded, not trip-minded. Too many of us are enjoying the scenery of this world. We're looking around because we don't understand. Seventh-day Adventists have been chosen by God for a mission. And as I told you, when Eliezer went to get that wife for Isaac, here's why I love this man so much. I look forward to seeing him. He prayed for a sign. The sign was given. The woman came, Rebecca. She did exactly what Eliezer prayed for. She took Eliezer to her house. He sat down. And they gave him food. And he said, I will not eat until I have told my mission. You need to understand the severity of that statement. In that society, and indeed in African societies, Asian societies, I believe, you don't just walk in and state your business. Let's drink something. Let's eat something. Let's chat. Let's fellowship. Then comes business. Eliezer violated a serious social custom. I am not eating. If you want to offend some people, you tell them that.
Right.
Particularly in those countries on the other side of the world, you will cause offense. Eliezer took that risk. He said, I am not eating until first things are dealt with first. Because Eliezer was on a mission. And he could not be distracted by food, no matter how nicely it smelled. Then he told his mission. And they asked, Rebecca, will you go with him? She said, yes. They said, can she stay 10 days because she's leaving? We want. Eliezer said, no. I've got to go back and report. He packed up the next morning and was gone. That's a man, come on a mission. Seven of the Adventists have been called by God as special forces to carry out a mission. And what are the weapons of our warfare? Message number one, message number two, message number three, particularly three, in which the other two are wrapped up. Combined with the loud cry, Revelation 18, 1 to 5. That's our work. And anyone who undermines that work, tries to distract the church, get the church involved in every other movement, that person is effectively a traitor in the temple. Yeah, I know some people are angry. But that's life. You see, Jesus says, he that is not with me, against me. And there are a lot of church members who sing hymns every Sabbath morning, but they are against Christ. They want the church to be everything else except a mission-minded church. There's a sermon I preached a couple of weeks ago called Serving God in Satan's Uniform. And the point I made at the beginning of that message was this. In the great gospel commission, Jesus said, go and teach them. Don't let them, come on, teach you. I just lost you. You're sleeping with your eyes open. Jesus said, go and teach them. Don't let them, because they have nothing to tell you. Now they may tell you about physics. In economics, not about the plan of salvation. They have nothing to tell you. You teach them. Politically correct? Yes. Biblically correct? Yes. Go ye therefore and teach. Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world, meaning the world has no light. When I say no light, there are some churches that preach baptism by immersion. That's biblical light. I mean light as it applies to the last day events. You see, in the Bible, there's a certain message for certain periods of history. Paul did not preach investigative judgment. He couldn't. Elijah did not preach investigative judgment. He couldn't. You know who can? We can. That's our mission. Any effort by anyone to distract the church, that person knowingly or ignorantly is a traitor. That policy of traitor in the temple began with Lucifer, who went around sowing discord among the angels. They were not even aware of what he was doing. That's the thing about deception. Eve thought she had Adam's best interests at heart when she went as an agent of Satan and caused her husband to fall. When Sarah told Abraham, sleep with Hagar, she was a traitor in the temple. When Rebecca told Isaac, not Isaac, Jacob, let's deceive your father, she functioned in that brief period as a traitor in the temple, a traitor to the plans God had. God had told her before they were born, the older shall serve the younger. Leave it up to me to decide how that will happen. Yes. When Cain killed Abel, he was a traitor in the family temple. When Judas betrayed Jesus, he was a traitor in the temple. Jesus said in John 6 verse 70, have I not chosen you 12? One of you, come on. But in the light of our subject, one of you is a traitor. And he was right in the church that Christ pastored. A traitor in the temple. And the most dangerous enemy is the enemy that looks like a friend. That's why in war, you cannot dress like the enemy. If you dress like the enemy, what's the punishment? Death. And the agents of Satan dress like Seventh-day Adventists. And he works with them effectively. Satan had agents dressed as Pharisees and publicans and scribes. And they called for the death of Jesus. God has called this church in this day, as he called ancient Israel, to stand as a light in the earth. Testimonies, volume 5, page 455, paragraph 2. Listen carefully. God has called his church in this day, as he called ancient Israel. Let me be blunt right between your eyes. The Seventh-day Adventist church is as special to God today. Finish my words. As the Israelites were in the Old Testament. You find it hard to believe or accept. A careful Bible study will lead you to that conclusion. Struggling and screaming, but to that conclusion. There is a spiritual Israel today. It is called the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and we have been commissioned to call people out of Babylon. Not go and get them. Not join Babylon. Be friends with Babylon and practice friendship evangelism. Get them out. Call them out. One of the reasons, the primary reason God brought Israel out of Egypt, Psalm 105, verse 45, that they might observe his statutes and keep his commandments. Amen. Message number one, fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. We need to tell the world, worship the God of creation, the God of the seventh-day Sabbath. Amen. The God of Sundays, the Sabbath, is not the God of heaven and earth. Amen. I know this is tough, but sometimes surgery is painful, but it saves lives. The God of the Sabbath is the God of heaven and earth. I don't know who the God of Sunday worship is. It's not the Father of Jesus. Message number two, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Babylon is a reference to false teaching, and the primary individual in Babylon, of course, is the beast. It's a fallen system. The fall is not complete yet, but it has been falling. When the Sunday law is passed, and it becomes the law of the land to worship on Sunday, Babylon would have fallen completely. Message number three. If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now, having told us this group that will be punished severely by God, we have a separate group. Here are the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Amen. And so the Bible distinguishes two groups. Listen to me carefully. What time is it? It's 18 minutes to 1. Let me finish at 1. Is that okay? Say yes. Amen. All right. Okay. Just a one, maybe before one. Let's pray again. Father, please help me. Help me, God, please. I really mean it. If I've said anything wrong, forgive me. Now help me. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Listen to the third angel again. If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead, think about it, accept it, or in his hand, do it. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out into the cup without mixture into the cup of his indignation. The wine of the wrath of God. Now, go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Now you have to reason through the scriptures. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right. Do you need to stand and stretch? No, you're okay? All right. Ephesians 5 from verse 6. How many of you have the King James Version? May I see your hand? All right. Well, make me feel good for the last day of this revival. Read with me. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Carefully now. For because of these things. Stop. What are these things? Start reading verse 3. What does verse 3 of chapter 5 say? But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Go to verse 4. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, we have a list of sins, verses 3, 4, and 5. Now, keep those sins in mind. Well, no, not keep them in mind, but you know what I mean. Okay. They're the context of verse 6. Are you with me? That's why you need the Spirit of God when you're preaching. The last thing I need to tell you is keep sins in mind. Okay. Read verse 6 with me now. Let no man deceive you by any with vain words. For because of these things, stop. What are these things? The sins mentioned in 3, 4, and 5. Now, because of these things, finish verse 6. Cometh the wrath of God upon the children of. So God's wrath is only poured out on disobedient. Is that clear? No, it's not. The wrath of God is only reserved for the disobedient. Keep this in mind. Let's go back and read the third angel's message again. Revelation 14, let's read from verse 9. 12:45 on the dot. And the third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink, read with me now, of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. Who shall receive the wrath of God? Those who worship the beast. But the wrath of God is only poured upon whom? Disobedient. So those who worship the beast and his image are disobedient. What's the only thing you can disobey? The law. What we have is a statement about how God will deal with those who willfully, flagrantly violate his law. If any man worship the beast. But the second commandment says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor serve them. If any man breaks commandment 2. You didn't see that? Let me try again. I'm glad there's lunch right after this. I'm hungry. Listen to me carefully. Read verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 and 10. Read with me, my people, King James people. And the third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, stop. What's the first commandment say? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So that clearly violates commandment 1. What does commandment 2 say? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. So we have an image. We have 2 commandments violated in verse 9. 1 and 2. If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. And the only reason why God's wrath is poured out is disobedience. So those who receive that wrath under the third angel's message are disobedient. And the only thing you can disobey, come on, talk to me, is the law of God, or better known as the Ten Commandments. God has a warning for those who willfully, knowingly put another God above God. And that beast, we know to be the papacy. This has been known for hundreds and hundreds of years. That image will be set up right here in the United States. What's the image? A system where the state is controlled, come on, by the church. And the state, the church, uses the state to do its dirty work. We see that at Calvary. The Jews had no power to execute people. Are you with me? They used the Romans to kill Christ. But Christ represents the church. In these last days, the church will use the state to get rid of God's commandment-keeping people. Not get rid of people who go to church. Get rid of God's commandment-keeping people. Because the distinguishing feature in the time of trouble will be those who obey God's law and those who disobey. We cannot afford to be traitors in the temple. My brother, my sister, you either accept God 100% or leave him alone. He that is not with me is against me. If the Pasadena SDA Church desires to do evangelism, and you should, that's why the church exists. You ought to make sure first the converts will be coming into what kind of environment? A safe environment. Not like the Pharisees who traverse sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he's made, they make him twofold more the child of hell than themselves. We cannot bring people into this church or any other church and then turn them into vegetarian hypocrites. So we need to get right. Say amen for get right. We need to get right. Let me ask you a question that's embarrassing. Don't answer me. Is there sin you're committing you need to stop? Say, don't answer me. Somebody answer. God bless that person. That's an honest person. Couldn't help it. Honesty cannot be restrained sometimes. Is there something you are doing? You know it is wrong. You continue to do it. That has to stop. This is not Joel Osteen. This is not Creflo Dollar. This is not T.T. Jakes. This is not Joyce Meyer. Are you following me? I'm not a Pentecostal preacher. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Three Angels Messages preacher. Your problem is sin. And I'm talking to people of all ages. Are you consistently disobeying your parents? Stop. Now, if there's something you're doing, you know it is wrong, you continue to do it. I don't even know what it is. Can I see your hand? Come. Come right here. Come. Come. What are my words? We know it is wrong. We continue to do it. We need to stop starting today. Come. You're coming at the voice of God. He's just using me. That's all. Come. Don't look around to see who's coming. This is not a spectator sport. You come. Father, there's something I've been doing. I know it is wrong. And I'm talking to my friends online. You can come in your own way. You don't even have to move off your couch. Come here. Father, I need to stop. I'm coming. Come. We'll pray. The devil is not pleased with what's happening now. But our business is to make him unhappy. By preaching truth, calling sinners to repentance. The purpose of the gospel is not to weaken the claims of God's law, but to bring people up where they can keep it. You see, when Adam sinned, God could have brought the law down. No, he provided a way to bring Adam up. Anybody else? There's something I am doing that's wrong. I know it is wrong. I continue to do it. Come. There's someone else who needs to come. Come on, come. So we can pray. Come. Let's get rid of all traitors in the temple by our own admission to God. Father, I have been a traitor in the temple. I repent. God will forgive you just like that. Anybody else? Come, brother. Come, come, come. God will forgive you immediately. And listen to this. You won't believe it. He will see you as if you'd never done it. Now, that's hard to believe. That's not the way we treat people. He will not remind you of what you used to do. It's all put on Christ. So he sees Christ as guilty and he sees you as innocent. Anybody else? Another question. There's someone you need to forgive who've hurt you, who has hurt you. You have steadfastly refused to forgive that person, even though the Bible says if you do not forgive, you cannot be saved. But pride has kept you from forgiving that person. And you want to say, Father, tonight or today, I choose to forgive. Come. There's someone you need to forgive. You have not done it. Come. Come, let's pray, let's pray. And I need to pray. It's almost one. There's someone you need to forgive. You have refused, not realizing you're sabotaging your own salvation. Come. Final call. You have offended someone, you need to go say, I'm sorry. Pride has kept you from doing it, but the Spirit has moved you today. You need to go and say, I'm sorry. Come. Come. I've offended someone, I need to go and say, sorry. Come. Come. 60 seconds and I pray, guaranteed. Three calls. I have been doing something that's wrong, and I know it's wrong. I continue to do it. Today I'm saying, God, sorry. I want to stop. Two, I need to forgive someone who offended me because I have offended God. Come. I've hurt someone. I need to apologize. Come. 45 seconds. Come, come, come. God bless you. 25 seconds. God bless you as you come. 15 seconds. Come, come, come. God bless you. Come. And as soon as you leave this church, take action to apologize or to forgive. Take action. Don't delay. Delay is deadly. 5 seconds. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Before I pray, how many of you will say, Father, those of you seated, thank you for the message. Help me not to be a traitor in the temple, but to support the mission of this church. Can I see your right hand? Stand up with me. Those of you in the pews, stand. Those in the pews, the rest of us can stay kneeling. Heads bowed, eyes closed. But if you're in pain, you can get up. Dear God, we bow in your presence, every single one of us. We need Jesus. Father, no one is better than the other. We come pleading for the blood of Christ, the only agent that can cleanse the stain of sin. Father, kneeling in your presence, some of us, there are things we've been doing that are wrong, and we have known they're wrong, and we've kept doing it. Your Spirit has brought us to the point of decision. We want to stop before you stop us. Now, dear God, accept the confession of wrong. Accept it, Father. Forgive them, dear God. That's why Jesus Christ died. Forgive them for willingly breaking your law and draw them into your bosom, Father, because you do not hold grudges. Let them know how happy you are they've made this choice. Father, some have come to say, there's someone I need to forgive and pride has prevented me. But today, I want to extend that forgiveness because God always forgives. And Father, there's a group that came to say, I need to say sorry to someone. Give them the courage to do it. Father, let us remove all the dirt we've swept under the rug. Because the rug may cover it, the rug does not get rid of it. We need to get rid of our sins, that we may be fit special forces to carry out your mission, the three angels' messages. Let us not be traitors in the temple, but disciples of Jesus Christ. Bless all those online who've responded to this call or these calls, dear God. Let's leave this place by your grace, different people, dear God, than what we were when we came in. Hear this humble prayer, Father, and when you come, and you are coming, save us, Father, save us. In Jesus' name we pray, let God's people say, amen and amen. Please stand, those of you kneeling. Let's sing together before you leave. To God be the glory, great things he has done. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Those of you convicted to be baptized, you still have a chance to make that decision right now. Or someone may be convicted to be rebaptized. Evangelism, page 375, paragraph 2. When a soul is truly reconverted, let that soul be rebaptized. You may have been christened, you need to be baptized. You were baptized earlier not knowing what you were doing, you need to be rebaptized. You were baptized earlier just to join your friends, you need to be rebaptized this time to do it intelligently. Let your decision be known to the pastor. We have a baptism this afternoon. Pastor, what time? 4:45. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Let all God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.